Resurrection, resurrection.
That's how you feel? Really?
That's how I feel.
We got all these brand new shiny movies in front of us.
There are.
And that's how you feel?
There are some stacks of stuff in front of us. Yes, there is stacks.
Stacks and stacks.
Stacks and stacks. Yes. Just kind of happens.
Unboxing.
Today's unboxing. Today we got, we're combining some unboxing because we did a lot of unboxings.
Yeah.
So we're just going to combine a couple of the stuff we've
got. That's fair.
We've got another more stuff that we actually just got today.
Yes.
But that's not here.
No.
Because that would be a lot.
That would be a whole lot.
It'd be a lot to do in one show. But I think we can speed through the first few here.
Okay.
And then we'll get to the real
gems.
The good stuff.
The good stuff.
The really cool stuff. I don't know about good stuff, but cool stuff.
Okay.
Damn it. I forgot. There's another one there that I see. I brought one of these because it goes with that. There's another one that I have that goes with that as well. And I didn't bring it.
Fail.
It's on the shelf downstairs.
Fail.
I failed.
Failed.
Let's start easy. How about that? What do we have? What's that?
It is the Evil Dead remake.
Yes.
From the producers of the original classic.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it says.
That's the unrated version of the remake.
Indeed.
It was on sales like $8.
Will absolutely blow you away.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's like, just reading the quotes.
It's a couple extra seconds of gore here and there, little things.
You know,
I think there's some deleted scenes on there.
No, it doesn't look like it.
No.
There's Making Life Difficult featurette. A Directing the Dead free featurette.
Mm.
Being Mia featurette.
Mm.
Unleashing the Evil Force featurette. Mm. And Evil Dead the Reboot featurette.
Mm.
Then they have a trailer and a commentary.
Well, that's cool. This is still my favorite of the Evil Deads.
Yeah, I really feel like the Evil Dead, they always do a really nice, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I know the Ash versus Evil Deads, they always have really great featurettes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I meant the movie itself.
Yeah.
This is my favorite Evil Dead movie show. This is my favorite of them all.
No, Ash versus Evil Dead.
Ash versus Evil Dead is cool. It's a little, but you know,
it's
this is the way I like the show a lot. I really like the show a lot. But
yeah. I mean, there's two different flavors. I mean, this is definitely much more of like a horror, and that's much more comedy.
Well, did you hear they announced the new Evil Dead?
I did.
Evil Dead Lives, I think it's called.
Yeah, and he's going to be in it.
No.
Yeah, he said he was going to... Oh, maybe the video game, I'm thinking.
Maybe the video game, but no, maybe he's not in the movie.
Yeah.
The new... And the new Ash is a woman.
Yes.
Yes, they've cast a new Ash. He might be in it. I don't know. But, it is a woman. It is a female Ash.
Woohoo.
Yes.
I have that as a background on my phone.
Mm.
I have a cartoon female Ash.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Excellent.
Let's move on. Move on.
Moving on.
This was a good... I like this.
Oh, wow. You brought that up.
I brought that up, didn't I?
Wow.
I brought that up.
Wow.
You want to go there now?
My find?
You want to just do it? Yeah, you want to...
My find? So, we've been checking out the neighborhood, finally, because now COVID is kind of... Things are opening back up.
Yep.
So, we've been hitting a lot of thrifts and secondhand stores in the area, getting to know our local...
Thrifters. Thrifters and pickers.
Sifting.
Pickers, sifters, thrifters.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this one I found at...
Long Island Pickers.
Yeah, Long Island Pickers.
These next three are Long Island Pickers.
Yeah. So I got... Dun, dun, dun. A bootleg of Captain EO.
Yep. Captain EO.
Captain EO.
For those who don't know, for those who are under 35 years old...
I believe it was in the Land of Imagination.
Possibly.
Yeah, at Disney World in Florida. It was a 3D movie starring Michael Jackson.
Yep.
And
as Captain EO.
As Captain EO. And so there's a bunch of crazy aliens that he does music songs and videos with.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's like 10 minutes or something like that.
I'm sure maybe. It is.
Right?
It's a completely blank disc.
Yeah. It's printed out. Somebody printed it out from their computer. They must have downloaded it off YouTube or something and they just burned it onto a disc. That's actually almost half the disc. Well, that's quite a bit. Maybe it's longer than I thought it was.
Yeah.
But it was a Michael Jackson adventure that you watched at Disney World.
Wait, let me see the side.
What? Captain EO and I think the making of
Captain. Oh, the making of Captain. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
To have the making of, too.
It was a whole 3D thing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Written by George Lucas, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. This was actually a really big deal when it came out. I think they spent like a good, I think, $15 or $20 million on this.
So this is one of those movies that, like, as a kid, I remember watching And it just, it really captured that like movie magic. I think so. I took my parents to it at least twice, maybe three times.
I'm going to say twice as well. I'm going to say I did it at least twice.
Yeah.
Every time we went to Disney, I'm sure we went through.
Yes.
Captain EO.
That, and I love the singing vegetables, but.
I don't know the cat.
There was a kitchen show that had singing vegetables, which had like my Muppets in it. And then this had the really cool, like Star Wars version of Muppets. So this one I distinctly remember had a blue alien that sneezes at the camera.
Yeah.
And then they shoot water in your face. So yeah, Captain EO, really cool thing from my childhood to have. And I think it was one of the things that like really got me interested in puppets and movie making. So that's really why I had to have it.
Well, that's pretty cool. Captain EO. Yeah.
Captain EO.
I can't believe this. I couldn't believe when I saw it. When I saw that, I found it. When I saw it in the, I just handed it to you.
Yep.
And you went, oh.
And I hugged it to my chest, and I wandered around the store with it.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
But hey, you know, whatever.
But I mean, it's like, it's one of those touchstones, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, instantly it takes me back to that blue alien sneezing and just like the magic wonderment of being a kid, seeing a 3D movie and it actually having it like interact with you.
Yeah.
It's just one of those like moments of formation.
It's one of those things, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about it. I remember like some of the look of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm also thinking of that other one, the Haunted Mansion one that he did.
Yeah.
I'm also confusing some of it with that movie. Like, because it looked very, like, the look, the colors, the dancing sequence, the way they shot it was very similar. So I know that in my head.
It'll be interesting to go back and watch it.
I'm conflating the two.
Yeah. Because he did so many theatrical music videos that it's like, I don't really know if I can pull them all apart in my brain. I mean, I definitely know that the blue alien was in that thing. Which is the one where he's the gangster.
Smooth criminal.
Mm-hmm. There was just, everything was always so epic with him.
Entire Moonwalker thing.
Yeah. I just feel like they're all like somewhat conflated in my brain. So I just, it would be cool to watch.
No, these are the only, yes, it would be. It would be. These are the only two though. Captain EO and the Haunted Mansion one that he did. I forget the ghosts. Ghosts. That's what it is. Michael Jackson's Ghosts.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
We got Frankenstein.
It's a Frankenstein.
It is a Frankenstein. I decided that after we started doing the Linnea Quigley collection, I decided that Frankenstein is one of the movies that got me in to horror. It's really funny because I think that a lot of the things we had with the show, it's like I always felt like, well, I watched it with you and I watched it with you. And like all the interviews that we've done as a filmmaker, I'm always like, well, Manny showed me this and Manny showed me that. And actually, like my first real, like I was primed, like I had been like, I had had a couple of moments that had led to me being more open to embracing like horror stuff. And one of them, I was in school and I was a psychology, sociology double major. And on a whim, I decided to take a film course for credits in college. And really interesting. So I was going to an all-girls Catholic college on scholarship. So my film class was taught by a nun.
Your psychology classes were taught by nuns, which is even worse.
But really badass, cool freaking nun. I wish I remembered her name because I just don't. But so she taught, she opened the class with Frankenstein. And it was the Robert De Niro version.
Okay.
And the whole thing was like her talking about the visuals of the machine and how it looks like a womb. It was designed to look like a woman's womb. And just having that conversation like got me so into film design and looking deeper into films and especially horror films. So Frankenstein was really my gateway movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now it's your favorite monster.
And it's my favorite monster.
Yeah. You have a Frankenstein tattoo.
I mean, I have a Frankenstein tattoo.
Like you with like a two-headed cat.
I have Frankenstein shoes.
You do have Frankenstein shoes. So you've decided that you're collecting
all the Frankenstein movies.
You want to get as many Frankenstein-based films, which is a pretty cool, interesting collection to have. Something different.
Yeah.
So which one is that?
So we did buy me the De Niro one.
The Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So we did get that one. This one is the one with Donald Sutherland.
Which I've never seen.
Me either.
I didn't even know that existed.
I mean,
is that William Hurt?
Yes. William Hurt and Julie Delpy. Delpy. Okay. There you go.
Let me see. Who directed it? Should be the last credit in the credit block.
Kevin Connor.
I don't know who that is.
Me either. Very interesting. So Hallmark Entertainment and ATL Television Germany. Interesting. Okay. One of the greatest stories ever told. Obsessed with violating the laws of nature, end of life, and death, scientist Victor Frankenstein constructs a creature from the limbs of the dead. Once jolted to life, the creature proves even more human than his creator. Knowledgeable, wise, and also possessed of a conscience. Unable to inspire love, he chooses to inspire fear and vows to avenge the man who created and then abandoned him.
Whoa.
Whoa. We have a full screen version on this, 5.1 mix, two...
Full screen.
Yeah, full screen. 5.1.
Does it say open mat, or does it say full screen? It says full screen, but is it open mat?
Full screen
mat?
Version.
204 minutes. This is a made-for-TV movie. 204 minutes. It's 3 hours. So yeah. It's 3.5 hours. This is a made-for-TV movie.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, 2003.
That'll be a winter adventure one day.
Yeah, this has to be. Yeah, it's not rated. Hallmark Entertainment.
That's what I said.
It's all, you didn't say it was not rated.
No.
If Lionsgate released it and it's not rated.
Yeah, I didn't get down there.
And it's being promoted, produced by Hallmark Entertainment. 204 minutes. Yes, I think this is a made-for-TV movie.
Interesting.
That's very interesting. And that would be why it's full screen, because they shot it.
Yeah, for TV.
They shot it for TV, so it's probably... open mat.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, it's full screen, but it's an open mat full screen, which is fine.
Right.
You know, because they shot it for TV. It's like the original The Stand that we watched. And we watched it, and it's like it's still in full screen.
Right.
It's not full screen, it's open mat. A lot of made-for-TV movies, since they're made for TV, they don't bother with the crop lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then they transfer, and they use the full frame that was shot on the film.
Right.
Technically, full screen is a lot of movies because they were shot for widescreen, so it was cropped to widescreen from the film, and then it was cropped again for TV.
Ugh.
That's what your pan and scan is.
Right.
The image is cropped to a square, and then they actually manually, or in the thing, they would scan back and forth, so because sometimes there's a wide shot and there's two people on either end of it.
Yeah.
So they actually had to pan the crop. The widescreen, the full screen crop back and forth in order to see both sides of who was in the frame.
Right.
A steady wide shot with two people in it would turn into a panning shot that would go from one from left to the right or right to left or something.
Right.
Since this was shot for TV, it's probably open mat, which means they used the entire film frame.
Right.
There's no cropping at all. Okay. Other than just enough, because the film goes over a certain area, so they crop it to get rid of the sprocket holes on the film.
Mm.
Let's do the relic. These are going to move us into the next one. So Let's do this one. Oh, you want me to do that?
Yeah, do it.
So the relic, this came out, this is with Tom Sizemore and Penelope Ann Miller. Yeah, this came out around the same time as Mimic.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw them almost back to back in theater.
And they had such similar font, right? I feel like there's something that made them look alike, too.
No, they were just both monster movies.
I guess so.
They're both monster movies that kind of happened with a group of people hunting a creature. You know, Species was along that. I think Species was, 1997. Species was also about 96, 97. You had a bunch of monster movies where you had, like, a scientist and a psychologist and some wise-talking cop. And, you know, you had four or five people.
Yeah.
Four or five, like, 30-somethings of all different job experiences hunting a monster together.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like a late 90s thing, that mid to late 90s thing that just happened. A bunch of movies like that. So Relic is, come in if you dare. The opening night gala for a new exhibit at Chicago's Natural History Museum is underway. But be advised, something terrifying wants to make sure no one ever leaves. Penelope Ann Miller, Tom Sizemore, Linda Hunt, and James Whitmore star in this effects-packed shocker.
Whoa.
That gives Haunted House movies a new setting. The non-human star brought to head-ripping life by Jurassic Park Oscar winner Stan Winston.
Head-ripping life.
is something that no creature fan can let slip by. The creature can hold its own with the alien, writes the Chicago Tribune critic Gene Siskel. When the last reel begins, the special effect is truly awesome. Let the panic begin. It doesn't tell you anything about, like, that's it.
It's
people at a gala, at a museum, and there's a creature.
That rips heads.
That's clearly. nothing else about this. I saw this in theaters. I don't remember much more of it. This is the one that kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
Mimic didn't do well. Species, I think, just kind of overshadowed all of them.
Yeah.
Species? No, Mimic was Guillermo del Toro.
Yes.
Species had Natasha Henstridge, and she was naked through half the movie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There was a naked girl involved somewhere.
Yeah, through half the friggin' movie.
Wasn't there also a lesbian scene? What movie was that?
I think that was like Species 2.
Yeah, you're right. So, Species 2. Yeah.
Relic was cool, though, as well. I don't think it was as good as the others, but it's Tom Sizemore. So. Yeah,
why not?
Okay, so now we have these two here. These two I got off Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon had a sale, and there's a third one that has not come yet.
Okay.
So Amazon has this 2-for-1 sale that they were doing, and I got them from that. So I got them really cheap. So I got this Scanners 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
I got Scanners 2 and 3, and this was also about, it was about $10. I got this. This is the Scream Factory Blu-ray of Scanners 2 and 3.
Right.
I should have done this one second because it's going to lead directly into next one. But whatever, we're here. We're here now. So, Scanners 2. A breed of humans with dangerously powerful telepathic abilities, the Scanners, are being recruited by a corrupt police commander, John Forrester, in his crusade to take over the city. Forrester first enlists the help of an evil scientist, Dr. Morse, who wants to conduct mind control experiments on the Scanners with a new drug. When the side effects render the Scanners incapable, Forrester then finds David Kellum, a rational scanner who, unaware of his own powers, agrees to help him. Will Kellum discover Forrester's real motive and prevent the New Order from being established? So it's Scanners 2, The New Order.
Yeah.
And then Scanners 3, The Takeover. A young scanner, Liliana Komorowska, with extraordinary telepathic powers, transforms into a lethal killing machine after taking one of her father's experimental drugs. After taking over his pharmaceutical company, the deranged scanner runs amok on a killing spree and takes over a television company in her quest for world domination. As her thirst for power grows stronger, only one man, her scanner brother, might have the power to stop her. This is the sequel 2 and 3.
Yes.
To, obviously, Cronenberg's original Scanner.
So we go from head-ripping action to head-exploding action.
Yes.
Pretty exciting.
Now, here's a fact. Not a single one of the Scanners sequels is approved by Cronenberg.
Huh.
Doesn't care for any of them.
Wow.
As far as he's concerned, they have nothing to do with his movie.
Wow.
Yep.
You bastard children.
You know?
A redheaded stepchild. Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Poison Ivy collection. Have you ever seen any of these?
None.
Okay. In the early 90s, there was a run of erotic thrillers that came out, and they were fairly popular. Poison Ivy was like one of the biggest. The first Poison Ivy with Drew Barrymore and Sarah Gilbert.
Wow.
Yes.
Have I not heard of this? I know.
Drew Barrymore, Sarah Gilbert, and Tom Skerritt in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Came out around the same time as Basic Instinct.
No, that's probably why I haven't heard of it.
What was the other one? The one with William Baldwin. He was in this other. He was in another. I can't remember the name of it. It was in an apartment building, and there were cameras everywhere. I think he was in it. And maybe I'm just thinking of him because it looked like Flatliners. I don't know. Whatever. There was a bunch of these types of movies. Red Shoe Diaries was around that same exact time with David Duchovny.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff. So the first movie is Drew Barrymore as Ivy.
Huh.
Right? She becomes friends with Sarah Gilbert. The tempestuous young Ivy befriends inverted teen Sylvie, Sarah Gilbert. You know who Sarah Gilbert is, right?
Okay. Yes.
Because I know you're bad with names sometimes.
I am sometimes.
And seduces her way into the lives of Sylvie's wealthy family in Poison Ivy.
Mm.
What happens is, I believe that her father's Tom Skerritt, her mother dies, she becomes friends with Ivy, and Ivy moves in, and Ivy begins to seduce her father.
No, that's not cool.
Yep. Poison Ivy 2, Lily, a sheltered art student, which is, in this one, Alyssa Milano.
Oh, wow. Alyssa Milano.
Yep. Finds Ivy's diaries, and after reading them, is lured into uninhibited risk-taking to become a wild woman.
Whoa.
Yep. Part 3 is with Jamie Presley.
Huh, yes.
Joy from My Name is Earl. Then Ivy's sister, Jamie Presley, visits the Greer residence in Poison Ivy, The New Seduction, and it doesn't take long for her to use her skills of manipulation to throw the household into a state of panic and deceit.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle that one. Unless she talks like Joy, I can't do it.
Then part 4.
There's part 4?
Right there. College freshman Miriam McDonald is invited to join an exclusive campus sisterhood where cold-blooded ambitions cause the group to seduce, blackmail, or do away with anyone that gets in their way in Poison Ivy, the secret society.
Yeah. I'm doing a slow clap for that.
I knew you'd like these. Three, four, part two, three, and part four is just unrated. So, yes, we have the unrated versions of them all.
Oh, wow.
But, yes, we go from Drew Barrymore to Alyssa Milano to Jamie Presley to this girl who I don't know.
Don't know.
But it's a sorority house of women who screw over men.
Do it. Let's go. Let's go.
And I got this. This was, I think it was down at $30. It's normally like 50 or so.
That's not bad for four movies.
You know, exactly. That's what I felt. And I knew that these were pretty cool. I haven't seen... I don't think I've seen part one and two. I've never seen three and four.
That'll be a fun watch.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So one day we'll do an episode on Poison Ivy. And then we have Scanners 2 and 3 here that we already covered.
Which leads to...
our vinegar order. The main conversation of
the
today.
The main attraction.
The main attraction. The vinegar syndrome halfway to Black Friday sale.
Cheers to vinegar. Mm. We love you.
This is a Death by DVD special news bulletin. Death by DVD is moving! To Friday nights, that is. That's right. New episodes of Death by DVD will now be available Friday night. Friday! Blood-curdling new episodes all about your favorite horror and exploitation movies on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Always available first on our website, www.deathbydvd.transistor.fm.
I guess we'll start with it then. Their big release is Scanner Cop 2 and 3.
Ooh, what's Scanner Cop?
It continues the Scanner story.
What?
What's really funny, though, is it doesn't follow Scanners 2 and 3. This picks up after Scanners 1.
Oh, my God. They're like step-siblings. or half-brother and sister.
But from now, I've never seen any of these.
Wow.
I've never seen Scanners 2 and 3. I've only seen the first one.
Wow.
And that's it.
I think we need to get a group watch on.
I think we might.
And I think we're going to have to see what everybody prefers.
I think so.
I think that's it's going
to
be...
The question is, what order do you watch them in?
Oh, you're going to have to do...
If they're literally adjacent sequels. But these two go together and those two go together.
Oh, snap. I don't know if you go two and two and then three and three. Or do you go two and three and then two and three?
Probably have to... You know what we'll do? We'll just make it fair. We'll go by order of release.
That there you go.
Scanners 2. Oh, 90 and 91.
Wow, look at that cover.
Oh, man, this packaging is so cool. Like,
it's
everybody,
really...
Yeah, all the pictures, it's just fucking huge. It is. It's huge.
It's so, like a big box of Blu-ray.
So we have a
Blu-ray.
Super thick box.
Yeah.
Super thick side sliding...
Two DVD box.
Yes. Inside is two Blu-rays, each with their own slip cover.
Yes.
Which is really, really cool. The outside art on the inside. I'm pretty sure that those are... And I like that they're 4K, so that it's in the black cases.
Yeah, that is nice. It looks way sleeker with black.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm intrigued by this one. Is his shadow down in the middle of his face, or is his face splitting open? Oh, no, it's two different people.
Rookie cop Sam Stasiak has a unique gift. He is a scanner, which gives him the power to read the thoughts of others and also to inflict great bodily harm and death. To repress his abilities, he takes a medication designed to keep scanners sane and rational and from extracting harm on others. When a mad scientist named Carl Glock, played by Richard Lynch, begins using mind control to murder police officers, Sam realizes that only he and his unique gift can put an end to the mayhem and uncover the identity and diabolical motives in this bloodthirsty madman. In the first true sequel to David Cronenberg's 1980 horror classic, producer Pierre Davids, who produced Videodrome, first foray into directing, Scanner Cop is a tense and bloody mix of gruesome body horror and action-packed police thriller. Never released on disc in the U.S., Vinegar proudly brings, as the usual Vinegar proudly brings section. Special features, we have the Scanner Cop Revolution Part 1, extended making of documentary, featuring interviews, blah, 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 of all those people, special effects artists, stunt coordinator, the director, the screenwriter... Promotional video, commentary track by the We Hate Movies podcast. This is a 4K and Blu-ray set. So it's two disc set. Both of them are in 4K and Blu-ray.
So these are approved.
No. None of them are approved by Cronenberg.
Wow.
Cronenberg doesn't know. As far as he's concerned.
Scanners ended with scanners.
That's it. Scanners. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
But this was produced by the producer of Videodrome.
Oh.
So he tried to keep it true to Cronenberg's.
Yes.
Those were like studio sequels, the right. other two. These were in spirit sequels? I don't know.
Adjacent? But
Cronenberg had, yeah, Cronenberg had nothing to do with any of them, okay. and he wanted nothing to do with any of them.
Gotcha.
Scanner Cop 2.
Scanner Cop 2, The Showdown. Nowhere to hide, not even in your mind.
Whoa.
Whoa. So yeah, again, it's in the 4K black casing. Mm-hmm. It's got sort of a guy that has a line down his face, but it looks, you can't tell if it's two people that are kind of trying to merge
mm-hmm.
or if his face is splitting. Do you mm-hmm. see like the lips don't line up?
Yep.
But clearly on the inside cover, his face is splitting open.
Yep.
But sort of like his eye, it's really weird. It's a weird face well, split
read
area.
It. See what it says.
Okay. Sam Stasnik.
Stasiak. Same guy from the first one.
Okay, Sam Stasiak. The scanner cop had hoped that he could resume a normal life, while other scanners in the Los Angeles area are being attacked, literally left drained of life. Sam is forced back into action in a desperate attempt to stop a mad scanner named Vulcan, who is determined to become the most powerful and ruthless of his kind.
But as
Sam sets out to put an end to the ever-increasing carnage gripping the city, he also finds himself in a personal crisis after his long-estranged mother reappears and becomes the focus of Vulcan's growing rage. It does everything in its power to up the ante in terms of the Scanner series' violence and creative death sequences, with an array of extremely grisly and often explosive demises.
Well,
courtesy of special effects wizard John Carl Buchler?
Buchler.
From Mausoleum. Vinegar Syndrome is overjoyed. They are overjoyed.
Well, they are. They usually are. They're an excitable bunch.
Vinegar Syndrome is overjoyed to bring this unforgettable final chapter in the Scanner saga to Blu-ray and 4K Ultra HD, newly restored from its 35mm original camera negative and featuring a brand new and extended making-of documentary with the cast and crew. Has the commentary track with the director, Outside the Law, The Scanner Cop Revolution, Part 2. So I guess Part 1's on that one.
Yes.
Extended making of documentary featuring interviews with the director, producer, actor, actress, composer, special effects artist, makeup artist, lots of special effects people, and the screenwriter.
Does it surprise you there's lots of special effects people?
No. It's like four different special effects people. It's like, wow, okay.
I do want to
You know
to
what
do...
this sounds like?
What?
Highlander.
No, it doesn't.
He'll be the final.
Give me the damn thing.
He'll be the final. Vulcan will be the final.
For God's sake, with this Highlander shit.
Okay.
This is Nightmare Weekend. We had Nightmare Weekend already.
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever bought just a slip.
I really want to scratch inside his mouth.
Why?
I just feel like it's like a lottery ticket where you scratch.
It's not.
I feel like I could win something.
You can't.
I feel like I can.
You can win a punch in the face, because if you scratch this and ruin it, it'll be the end of your happiness.
I just want to take a quarter to it so bad. Oh, I didn't even talk about the latex eyes of the Scanner Cops.
Oh, yeah, there's latex eyes on the Scanner Cops covers.
It's pretty cool.
There you go. You talked about it. So that has a reflective mirror ball in it. Nightmare Weekend is about a computer that...
when modern technology gets out of human control...
People's ability to transform their personalities of work on his greatest a supercomputer with the ability to transform the personalities of bad and disobedient people.
Oh.
Uh-huh. In anticipation of sharing his work with the scientific community, the scientist invites a fellow expert to test the machine on a group of detached young women. Debauched young women.
I was going to say detached.
Yes, they're just mentally not there.
They don't have boyfriends, that's it.
They're detached. Yes, that's it. They are... They are unwanted.
Wow, that was judgmental.
Little does he know that his colleague intends to use the computer to turn their subjects into bloodthirsty mutants. So what it does is it takes this bad energy or whatever and turns it into that silver ball.
Mm.
And it literally shoves itself into people's mouths.
Wow. Well, so at least it's not the phantasm ball.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. So, So I don't know why I bought this cover. I just wanted the cover. I don't know why, because I actually like the other cover better.
It's a mirror. It's just really addicting.
It's strange.
It draws you in.
It's very strange. I like the...
Mirror Ball.
Here's Extra 3. We got this as well. We also got Extra 1 from the Amazon sale, which is what I was saying earlier. We missed. I got Extra 1.
But now we have to search...
What?
Wait, okay, so you...
Yeah, we don't have part two.
That's what I was going to say.
They're unconnected sequels, though.
Oh, okay.
They are unconnected sequels, but they are all... I believe they're all alien movies. They're all alien creature films.
Watch the skies.
So what is Extra 3 about? Now, Extra 1, so people know. Everybody has seen that meme of the creature that's kind of on its... It's a four-legged creature that looks like it's kind of... Everything's backwards and its head is twisted on the side of the road.
Yes.
That's Extra.
Oh, okay.
That's the creature in the first one. Yeah, it's very creepy looking. And
so this is not like a fun alien ride-along buddy movie.
Oh, I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen the first one. I've never seen the third. I have the first one on video.
I'm looking at the pictures and I'm going to say no.
No? Okay.
No.
Not a fun alien. It's not a Space Invaders, huh?
No, it's not Space Invaders.
I can tell you it's definitely not Space Invaders. Now, but from what I understand, part two is the absolute worst. That's what I've heard. I've only seen the first one. And again, I saw the first one 25 years ago. I don't remember anything. I have the tape and that's it. I don't remember the last time I even watched it.
These are some creepy looking aliens.
They are very creepy looking.
So it's got like this old man, kind of like tiki, big browed, wrinkly, big flat nose, wide mouth, wide jaw.
Uh-huh.
Then it kind of goes normal human neck.
Mm-hmm.
Then it has like these teeny tiny thin little arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has, you know, like a big chest.
Oh, they got loud out there.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know if the people can hear it, but our neighbors are having a graduation party next door.
Yeah.
They actually have a PA system and someone is singing.
Wow.
It's not music. They are playing music and someone is singing to the music. They got a crooner.
God bless.
They got a Spanish crooner out there.
Do it. Yeah. Just do it. I love it. So you guys are getting a bonus this week. I wish we could give them a shout out, but we don't know.
Yeah.
We haven't spoken to those neighbors
yet. Yeah, we don't know them yet. But okay.
Okay. Extra 3. Mm-hmm. A group of military personnel have been assembled to, they believe, locate and disarm old active explosives, which have been left unattended at a former army testing site on a remote island. But when they arrive at the deserted island, they soon discover that something doesn't seem quite right about their mission. And soon enough, they uncover a strange concrete block, which, after accidentally blowing up, interesting.
Yeah, right.
Oops. Unleashes an indestructible, bloodthirsty alien being, which will stop at nothing to kill them. As if survivors band together in order to stay alive and try to find a way to outwit the diabolical creature, they realize that their entire mission may have been a trap and the military is using them as pawns in their own vicious plans. Well, the third and most violent entry into the Extra trilogy. Extra 3, Watch the Skies, moves the setting to Southern California while amping up both the action and gore through a series of nasty and inventive death scenes. Vinegar Syndrome presents this underrated slice of 90s action-tinged sci-fi horror on Blu-ray for the very first time, newly restored in 2K from its original 35mm camera negative. Newly scanned and recorded in 2K, winning and losing an interview with the director, acting like a writer, interview with the writer slash actor. Not much here.
No? Oh, no. Well. All right. Well, it's a nice slipcover. I like the case. Nice, I like the art on it. It's a creepy-looking alien. Here we have, I believe this is, yes, this one is, here we have Pandemonium. This one, okay, so this one I did not know about and I didn't know what it was. I wasn't planning on getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it and I was like, never heard of it. It's another slasher. Then I saw the cast, which is Carol Kane, Judge Reinhold, Phil Hartman, Tom Smothers, Paul Rubens.
Wow.
Yes, and Tab Hunter. What the hell?
What is happening in this movie? Yeah,
seriously. It's a crazy, weirdo slasher. 1963, Pandemonium. Did I say the name?
Yes.
Pandemonium. 1963, a group of college cheerleading students were brutally slain by a mysterious killer, resulting in the closure of the school they attended. Now, former student and professional cheerleader Bambi has decided to reopen the institution. As new students arrive, it's not long before the murderer makes his presence known as the bloody hijinks resume. Even worse, the only hope of unmasking the culprit falls upon the overworked Canadian Mountie. A wildly bizarre horror film parody from Alfred Soul, Pandemonium features an astonishing cast in Carol Kane, Judge Reinhold, Phil Hartman, Tom Smothers, Paul Rubens, and Tab Hunter. Jam-packed with bizarre humor and even stranger death sequences, Vinegar Syndrome brings this never-on-disc early 1980s cult favorite to Blu-ray in a 2K restoration.
Interesting.
So it's a horror comedy. I didn't know that when I'd first heard of it. I had no idea.
Huh.
I was just like, what is this? I've never heard of Pandemonium. But it's a horror comedy with a bunch of comedy actors that we recognize.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Why not?
So I was like, okay, you'll like that.
Yeah,
fine.
I will.
You know? All right, next we have Bloodhook, which part of my big Vinegar thing is that they released the movies that I've had on VHS for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, this movie's never going to come out again.
Yeah.
It's never going to be re-released. You're never going to see it again. And if everybody throws out all their tapes, these movies are going to probably disappear.
Yeah.
Because the studios don't care about them.
Mm-mm.
Studios just don't give a shit about these low-budget horror movies anymore.
No.
Bloodhook is one of the ones I have on videotape. Oh, man. I had a whole bunch of them. I actually took a picture and put it in one of the collector's groups of all of the ones that I have on Dolly Dearest I have.
Yeah.
And a bunch of others of all the Vinegar movies that I have.
With their VHS. Tape.
Extra. You know, so this was one of them. And I said, okay, I'm pretty sure I got all the Vinegar movies that they've released.
Wow.
That I own so far.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more because I have plenty more tapes that have not been released yet.
Yeah.
So do you want to do this one?
No, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. 17 years ago, Peter's grandfather went missing under mysterious circumstances. Now, Peter and his friends have returned to the placid Wisconsin town to check out his inherited lake house and to partake in the annual Muskie Madness fishing competition.
Whoa.
Excited, huh? Soon after his arrival, Peter begins to sense that something isn't quite right, but none of his friends nor the local sheriff will believe him. But as townsfolk and tourists begin to disappear, Peter becomes determined to solve the mystery, as well as that of his grandfather's disappearance, and soon finds himself facing off against a fishhook-wielding madman.
Ooh.
Bloodhook.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the slip has been sold out for a long time. The feature film debut from director Jim Mallon, Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, Bloodhook is a distinctly comedic slasher that mixes copious bloodshed with wry satire. Never released domestically in its original version, Vinegar presents this underseen regional horror oddity, fully uncut and featuring previously censored gore and mayhem on Blu-ray in a fresh cinematographer-approved restoration from its original camera negative.
That's really cool.
We have a hook, line, and sinker interview with the director. First Bloodhook interview with the actress Lisa Todd. What's in the Tackle Box interview with the effects artist. Audio interview with cinematographer and editor Marcia Kamm. Still gallery, theatrical trailer, reversible cover, and English subtitles.
That is a really nice cover, though.
It is really cool. But the original Bloodhook cover it's probably what I'm opening. So I'm breaking it open?
Oh, shit.
I'm breaking it open because I'm pretty sure that watch the original art. The red cover art will probably be on the inside.
Ugh. I don't know if it's going to top that, though.
There it is. Yes, it will.
No, I like the other one.
Really?
Yeah,
don't care for the girl running on the water and the hooks pulling at her? And
no, I like the other one because it looks like she's a fish getting pulled out of the water by her mouth.
Yeah, I like this. I think this one... I think the original cover actually shows the movie better, that it's a silly kind of...
Yeah, that's true. It does capture that.
Yeah, it fits it better.
It does capture the feeling much better. Bloodhook, you can't worm your way out.
Oh, what do you have in your hand?
Lady Terminator.
This is one
First
of
she mates, then she terminates.
Yep. That is one of those movies... that I rented a lot when I was a kid, that I probably really shouldn't have rented. Like 555.
Yeah.
It's not a gory one, though, like 555. It's probably just loaded with nudity.
Yeah.
I've put that in my cart. It's one of Vinegar's... It's Mondo Macabro that released that, so that's actually a Vinegar partner release. They...
Huh. It's from Indonesia.
Yes.
Hmm.
An Indonesian director.
Wow, this really captures what you're trying to say, I think.
Go for it.
It's like Kill Bill, but with oodles of sex.
Yes.
As, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I haven't seen it. So I think we might have rented it once, and then we didn't actually watch it before we returned it.
Ooh.
What?
Even the jaded patrons of 42nd Street were shocked to see how this lustful Lady T dispatched her male victims.
Mm.
Oh, now I gotta know. Mm-hmm. Now I got to know. get ready for a wild ride. A sexually rapacious. A sexually rapacious Asian goddess known as the Queen of the South Sea possesses the body of a young female skin diver. Armed with an AK-47 and an endless supply of bullets, this murderous lady Terminator takes it to the streets on a revenge-filled rampage. This combination of Asian black magic and Western-style shoot 'em up is one of the key cult movies of the 80s. Previously released to a cut full screen version, this DVD restores the film to its original length and is presented in a digitally restored format enhanced for widescreen TVs.
Wow.
Special DVD features brand new anamorphic transfer, documentary on Indonesian exploitation, production notes and filmographies, alternate scenes, trailers, and previews.
Wow. So yeah, this was a Vinegar partner release. Vinegar Syndrome on their website has partners, which is other releases that they will distribute, like Troma had back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Mondo Macabro put this out. I've put this in my cart multiple times and not bought it so many times. And
I feel like we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, I finally decided, you know what? Tuck it. I'm going to get it. I'm just going to buy it. I wanted this and Who Can Kill a Child. And I got this now. Mm-hmm. Who Can Kill a Child is on, I'm pretty sure it's on Blu-ray. That is an amazing, amazing film, but it's pretty fairly out there. And this is, I'm like, I wanted to get, we're getting a bunch of crap movies. You know, Who Can Kill a Child is, you've seen the remake of it.
Okay.
But you've never seen the original.
Mm.
You've seen the remake, which was called,
I was going to say, I don't think I would have watched a movie named that.
Yeah. It's from the 70s. But you watched the remake, which, God damn it, what the hell was it called? Come Out and Play, I think it was called.
Okay.
There's a couple on vacation on a Spanish isle, and they show up, and there's nothing but children. Just kids left on the island,
yes.
And they're wondering what happened. The kids start hunting them.
Yeah.
And it turns out the kids killed all the adults.
Yes.
On the island.
This sounds familiar, yes.
It's almost shot-for-shot remake.
Okay.
It's very close to the original. The original is creepier and much a little bit more disturbing.
Mm.
But the remake is still really good. I'm pretty sure Come Out and Play is what it's called. It's a good film, though.
Okay.
I will be getting that soon. And then our final two, which were two more additions to our Linnea collection. Yep. One being Graduation Day. I think she only has a small part in this movie. I haven't seen this in a very long time. Linnea Quigley is not a star in this, but one of the big roles in this.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I think I have the videotape. I have a cheap, no frills, like $4 version of the DVD of this.
Yeah.
Because Graduation Day is the horror film, I believe, horror film debut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she was in movies before it, of Vanna White.
Wow. Okay.
Vanna White is in this. Class of 81 is running out of time. After the death of high school track star during a race, a mysterious fencing mask wearing killer begins murdering her friends and teachers. Who could the killer be? Her disgruntled coach, her angry sister, her violent boyfriend? As the bodies pile up, a twisted mystery unfolds, slowly revealing itself as it moves towards its bloody climax. One of the quintessential high school set slasher films of the early 80s, newly restored in 4K and presented in its original aspect ratio for the very first time. Video interviews with lead actress Patch McKenzie, director Herb Fried, producer David Bogg, and editor Martin J. Sadoff. Commentary track with David Bond and commentary track with The Hysteria Continues. I'm assuming another podcast. But yes, I believe this was Vanna White's first horror movie, possibly last, too, for all I know. This was an addition to our Linnea Quigley collection. And then the last one, which was, this is a previous release that we did not have, but they just did a slipcover for it.
Perfectly
and
timed.
And I was waiting for it. Yes, I had a feeling. I was going to buy it. I had a feeling they said there were going to be four new slipcovers released for this new sale.
You gambled and you gambled correctly.
I was
correctly.
Pretty sure it was because that hand was one of the previews and that, like her back, was another preview. And I'm like, that's the Linnea Quigley art.
Yeah.
That's Linnea Quigley. That's a shot. It's actually a shot from the movie. It's two movies.
Whoa.
Do this one. There you go. Get excited.
It's two movies
on one release.
So we have Murder Weapon, which is the one that you were talking about with the hand and the shot of her back.
Yep.
Then Deadly Embrace.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I've not seen either of these either.
Wow.
Yeah, totally new for me.
The beautiful Linnea Quigley stars in two erotic thrillers from filmmaker David...
David DeCoteau. He made sleazy, low-budget...
That's the name for it. Crazy
like horror movies of the 80s through early 90s. 90s as well. In fact, Pat worked with him.
Huh.
Remember that thing? Remember when Pat was doing that? That was David DeCoteau.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that was a couple of years ago that Pat was working with him at Monster Channel.
Yeah.
He did a couple of...
There's some shark movie or something.
Yeah, they were working on a shark movie. Yeah. They were working on some killer shark movie. I don't know if it ever got finished, but yes.
It sounded fun.
Yep.
Okay, first, Murder Weapon. Two women who have just been released from an asylum hold a party to reunite with their old boyfriends. Wow, that's a setup.
That's a setup.
Soon, though, a mysterious black-clad killer begins murdering the boys in increasingly gruesome ways. Can the murderer be unmasked before it's too late?
Ooh.
Mm. Then, in Deadly Embrace, a lonely and undersexed housewife hires a studly horseman, only to begin an affair with him. When his actress girlfriend, Linnea Quigley, comes to visit, as well as her wealthy husband, things start happening that no one would have ever expected. Never released theatrically, Vinegar Syndrome is proud to release these nudity and blood-filled direct-to-video classics from their long-lost 60mm camera negatives and bring them to the Blu-ray for the first time. Commentary track with the director and Linnea. Director introduction for both films. Video trailer for Murder Weapon, outtakes from Deadly Embrace. And that's it. Well, I think I'm going to go with Murder Weapon. That's the way I want it.
Yeah, it's a nicer cover.
Yeah.
The other one looks good, too. I like it, but this is a much nicer Murder Weapon art. Well, that is our haul for today. I think we did a pretty good job. We got through them pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We will soon be back with another one because we have a Severin sale coming in.
Ooh.
We have a Severin sale coming in. Yep. And part of that Amazon sale, I got the Rec box set, Rec 1 through 4.
No idea.
You know Rec, the Spanish...
Oh.
Yes, the Spanish found footage movie.
Yeah.
Part 1 through 4 in a box set. I got it for $35.
Wow.
Off of the Amazon thing. And again, it's another one that's normally like 50 or 60.
See, my brain went to WRECK.
Why?
I don't know. Rec. And yeah, I don't know what this movie is, not REC.
No, Rec.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got it for $35. By the time I clicked order, though, mm-hmm. it was out of stock.
Wow.
But they are seemingly honoring the price.
Wow.
So when it comes back in stock on Amazon, they will send it.
Gotcha.
Could be 6 months from now, but who knows?
So it was almost like it went out of stock at the same time as you clicked. And so the fact they couldn't update the out of stock.
Which is funny because normally they would tell you,
they
would say, well, it's running out of stock. You can, you know, cancel your order or not. Ooh. And they didn't even tell me cancel. They just say, when it comes back in stock, we will let you know. And we will charge you then. So I haven't even been charged for it.
Oh, wow. So we'll see.
It is in stock in other sellers, but not an Amazon seller. And the other sellers have it for like $70 and $80 each.
Wow.
So, you know what? Leave it. Whenever that pops up for $35, and if I can get it, I will get it and I will take it.
Sounds good to me.
So we have that. We have the Severin, which was this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The Severin Nuke the Halfway Sale, or something they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Severin Nukes the Half Year Sale.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a bunch of cool stuff in that. I didn't get any of the new stuff, though.
Oh.
I didn't get it. There was nothing really that I was interested in. I bought a bunch of old stuff that I wanted from Severin. A couple of from Intervision and things that I'd wanted for a while. Because the new stuff, I'm not really crazy about it.
Okay.
But hopefully it'll be on sale when they do their Black Friday sale.
Yeah.
And then I'll be then I might get it. But we'll talk about that when that finally comes in, you know, 2 months from now. Because Severin is notoriously slower than vinegar.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think we're unboxed.
Yeah, because our Severin sale, I'm trying to make that literally like the last order we do until we hit the October and November sales again.
Yeah.
You know? So from here on out, unless it's at a thrift store for really super cheap,
yeah,
probably not going to be getting it.
Mm.
So That's it, everybody. We are unboxed. We are boxed out.
We are boxed Done. Out.
Goodbye. Show's over.
See you later.
Unky Hank's lizard tail jerky.
Uh-oh. Did I hear you're out of Unky Hank's lizard tail jerky?
Yes, that's what I said.
Well, yeah. Don't you get your knickers in a niddly diddly widdly hiddly.
A what? Excuse me?
Shh. Just visit www.deathbydvd.com if you're in need of a lizard tail jerky feed.
You're saying I can get fresh Unky Hank's lizard tail jerky at www.deathbydvd.com?
No! It turns out this commercial's just for DeathByDVD.com, where you can hear rootin' tootin' highfalutin' episodes of Death by DVD, the greatest movie podcast of all time, all day, every day.
But I just wanted jerky.
Well, yeah! We don't always get what we want, do we?
New episodes of Death by DVD every Friday, available always first at www.deathbydvd.com.